It's going to be your last Sunday with us for a little while, isn't it? So tell us where you're going.
15th of August this month, go to Australia. My son is there. So I passed some, because we are retired, so we enjoy the retired life. And I hope Jesus come back. Me and my wife here again, but you know, in 15 years I come not regular before, but now it's regular. But last 15 years I'm joined this church, and in 15 years I joined this church always, and we are very happy with you. All of you, very nice people, religious people, care people, give the caring and love everybody. So we are very, very happy with you, and we have missed you. Go to Australia, we miss you. If you want, give your contact number. We are very happy because I want to contact. We are everywhere, anywhere. But I want to connection with you, all of you. So God bless you, and you keep me and my family in your prayer. Yes? Yeah. And thank you very much.
So how long are you going to be away for, do you think, roughly?
6 months, or minimum 6 months, yeah. It's maybe 7 months, or maybe before. Yeah, but...
Can a few people just come and quickly join me? We're going to pray for God's blessing on them as they travel, and that they will know his favor all the time.
Samuel and Lily, the best part of coming to see you guys was the 100-mile tea. And so, for those of you who don't know, as Samuel makes the most amazing tea, and he brews it in a saucepan, and it means that after you've drunk it, you can drive for 100 miles. And so I just want to pray for Holy Spirit's anointing on both of you, that you will have that that stimulation, that the Holy Spirit will give you renewed lease of life, and will give you the sharpness of mind spiritually, that you will be sharp, and that you will be awake, and that you will be able to drive for 100 miles, and that you will be able to bring blessing to your family, and that the Holy Spirit will flow out from you. And that those lives and those people whose lives that you affect and that you will speak into, you will bring real Holy Spirit blessing in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. One thing more, please. Actually, we are very happy to come here in UK. I don't know what happened here for me. But you not believe me, God used me in 15 years in radio and television. I give the message, I preaching. This time, the maximum world know me by name. I'm not me anybody, but everybody like you know, the message from the gospel. So me very happy because I do something for Jesus. Yes? So you also always prayer, and you connect to Jesus every time. You go to on the way and have work, and you sleep and morning every time. Yes, you pray, because prayer is very, very important for me, for you also. Because prayer saved me and you. You go to anywhere because Jesus with us. So no problem. God is great. Thank you.
Lord, I do pray, Father, for that you will continue to lead this couple, Father. I do thank you, Lord, for the way you've used them. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to lead them, and it may be a twisty path, Father, but I pray, Lord, that they will walk in your way the whole time, Father, that you will guide them, Lord, to what you want to do with them and give them fruitfulness. We pray, Lord, continued fruitfulness. Amen.
And Father, I just can't think of a better place for anyone to want to go to. And I just
going to Melbourne.
I really want to pray for them, Father. I pray for their future. They'll know your will. And Father, if your will is for Australia, that you will, we confess favour with the immigration authorities. We pray, Father, that it will be easy as a knife through butter, Lord. We pray, Father, that you will sort it for them, Father, that they would know your will truly. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Lord, I just want to pray for strength for them, because they're going to need it, Lord, with grandchildren and all the rest. And so I just pray that physically you would strengthen them, that you'd pour in your spirit, that they will have wisdom and understanding, and they will not be too tired, Lord, from looking after little ones. But we thank you for them, Lord, and it's been a joy to know them. And we just want to continue, Lord, even if it's at a distance. And we just praise you, Lord, that we can all know you're leading and you're guiding. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So go in the love of God and go with our blessing. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Great. I realise that I've forgotten the offering, so maybe we could just pass that around. And do you want to turn to the book of Galatians? It's okay, just pass that around. I'm just going to take a few minutes to look at a little bit more of this letter. We've been working our way through it this year. So we're in Galatians and chapter 4. Just to say, if you did feel that God gave you a word for Bob and there wasn't time to bring it in the baptism, or indeed even if you did bring it, it's extremely helpful if you're able to write it down and pass it to him, but so that he can have a look at that in his own time. So yeah, Galatians and chapter 4. Last week, you remember Paul was sharing from the heart, great passion about zeal and the wrong zeal, where people are trying to take advantage of other people, the right zeal, which is to see the life of Jesus Christ formed in one another. And so we pick up from verse 21 of chapter 4. Tell me, he writes, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now, you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Lord, as we look at this passage for a few minutes together now, I pray, Lord, you'd open our eyes, break forth understanding for us. Lord, strengthen us in Christ. Help us to know how you would have us walk and live, what it is that we are to know, what it is that we are to avoid. Lord, please continue with us as you have been through this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, remember, Paul has just been talking about the zeal that he has, and indeed that God has, that Christ will be formed in us. And so he now turns to those people who, whilst desiring to pursue the law and to live under its authority, that's both the false teachers, but it's also the people who've come under their influence. So Paul turns to, in fact, the law itself to hammer home his message. These are people saying, no, we've got to live under the law. So he says, okay, I'm going to turn to the law. I'm going to show you something from it. And he turns to a very well-known, at least to them, a very well-known part of the Old Testament story. And he tells us in the passage that he's going to use it as an allegory. In other words, he's going to take an earthly story, but he's going to draw out from it a figurative or a representative meaning in order to try and establish a spiritual principle. He tells us that in verse 24. So the story, perhaps you know it, perhaps not, but it's the story of the birth of two boys. It's the story of two mothers, two women. It's a story that we find recorded for us in Genesis chapter 16 in particular. You may remember that Abraham and Sarah had already received a promise from God that despite the fact that they had no children, yet they were going to have children. Abraham was called, was given this name by God that was going to, which was mocking him really. Not just was he going to be a father of a multitude, he was going to be a father of many nations, and yet to this point he'd not had a son. And so in Genesis 16 what happens is that after kind of years and years and years of frustration and disappointment, they come up with a cunning plan. And their cunning plan is going to be, why don't we use Sarah's Egyptian slave servant, get her pregnant on behalf of Sarah, and that way we can bring God's promise into fruition. Da, 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 what a great plan. Now, Paul explains that allegorically, figuratively, Hagar is a symbol that represents slavery. She's a slave woman. She's actually from Egypt. Cue a bit later on in the story. Egypt, slavery, ring any bells? Sarah is, on the other hand, a symbol, a representative of freedom. And again, as we've been working our way through the book of Galatians, the themes of slavery, freedom, sonship, inheritance, those have been themes that have cropped up again and again and again. So Paul's not moving on to talk about something new here. He's still staying with these same kind of familiar themes. So we've got these two sons. One is called Ishmael. In fact, he's not referred to here in Galatians, but if you go back into Genesis, the son of Hagar is called Ishmael. And commenting on his birth, Paul says that he's born according to the flesh. In other words, what he means is Sarah and Abraham come up with a cunning plan. This is something that they achieve independently of God. It's not depending on God's leading and on God's strength. It's not based on God's principles. It's not based on a godly desire. Instead, it's come out of their human urging quite separately from that life lived by the Spirit. Spirit and flesh are seen as two opposing opposites. Well, opposites are opposing, aren't they? But you know what I mean. Two opposites in the New Testament, again and again. So Ishmael then can take on this symbol of that which is brought about by human effort, our great ideas and plans. Our great ideas and plans are quite often a quick fix for our pain. we're struggling with something and we just can't bear it any longer, we come up with a fix to try and sort out the pain. We come up with an easy option because just waiting for God, well, it seems like God's forgotten. So let's come up with a solution. Let's come up with an option. They're expedient. But these quick fixes, these easy options, these expedient, cunning plans are ultimately destructive. I guess the heroin addict first took the heroin as a quick fix for their pain. But look where it ultimately it leads to. And in the same way, so many of our quick fixes, our coping strategies, if I could put it that way, totally understandable that we all do that. They're a fix, they're expedient. It hurts, we want a solution. And yet what God is looking for from people like Abraham and Sarah and people like us is for faith that turns to him and draws from what he is providing by the Spirit. And often that requires perseverance, that favoured friend. In fact, did we not hear a bit from Hebrews earlier talking about not making light of the Lord's discipline? There are times when we have to wait, as it were, under God's hand. And we're not yet enjoying all of the pleasures and benefits we were hoping for. We have to wait. But let's endure God's discipline because the alternative is to bring about an Ishmael. Isaac's the opposite. Miracle born. Born through promise. God said. And then years later, God brings it through. Persevering faith sees the promises of God come through. Hey, we've been in Hebrews 11 this year. We should know about this. Isaac is a symbol of receiving a promise by faith and then standing on that promise and waiting. It requires perseverance, but ultimately it is eternally fruitful and free. You don't end up in slavery when you receive the promise of God. You don't end up with an addiction. You don't end up having to give all your money. You don't end up bound. You don't end up sorrowful. What God gives to you, though there is delay sometimes, it brings freedom to us, not slavery. These are two opposites, slave or free, flesh, promise. And Paul speaks of two covenants. I think, are we on slide number four? That was where I'd like us to be now. There are two covenants. In fact, there are two cities. Paul explains that these two represent two covenants. Now, a covenant, we haven't really got time to get into it, but covenant is a solemn agreement between two parties where they say if we're going to work together, we're going to stick together, and if one of us breaks it, there's going to be desperate and severe consequences. In a sense, that's what marriage is. It's a covenant between a man and a woman. When we break that covenant, there are severe consequences. People get hurt. Well, the Bible speaks of a number of covenants, but the most important covenants are made between God and human beings. They promise great things, being in relationship with God. Breaking the covenant, very, very dangerous. Paul speaks of two covenants. And the first one, he says, well, it's Sinai. And this is where it kind of gets a little bit surprising, again, in Paul's language. We saw this a couple of weeks ago. Paul basically compares the covenant of Sinai, which is the giving of the law, and he compares it to this present age. He says it's like Hagar, it's like Ishmael, it's slavery. And he goes on to say that speaking of his own day, present-day Jerusalem is that descendant, the one who is the slave living under law, bearing no fruit. Jerusalem seen as a mother like Hagar of many slave children like Ishmael. A mother of slave children who together have rejected the offer of freedom. Do you remember Jesus weeping over Jerusalem? I wanted to take you into my arms, but you wouldn't have it, he says. And he kind of echoes the words of the prophets down the ages. Slaves of sin, slaves of law, slaves of Satan. And that was true in Paul's day, and it's true all the way down to this very day. So that's the one, the kind of like the law, the covenant of law leaves you in a state of slavery, ultimately. is what Paul is saying. Now, he doesn't quite explain what the second covenant is. We have to kind of work it out from the passage. I think Paul's getting so emotional, he's obviously gone a bit like Anne on this one rather than Trevor. He's gone so emotional, he's kind of all over the place in his language rather than rationally lining it all up. But I think it's fairly obvious to see what the second covenant is. The second covenant, you know, if Hagar represents one, Sarah represents the other. It's the covenant of promise that was given to Sarah and Abraham that there were going to be many sons and there was going to be blessing for all the nations. He goes on to mention a second city to compare with the first city. The first city is the city in slavery. The second city is the city that's free. It's what Paul calls the heavenly Jerusalem, verse 26. A city from above, from a coming age, a coming kingdom. It's free and it's ours. He says, it's ours. This is our mother, if you like. You know, the Jerusalem of this age, living under law and sin and slavery, is the mother of this age. The Jerusalem that is to come, the new Jerusalem, which is the church. This is who we are from. This is who we're part of. And this city unites all who believe, all who are baptized into Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, into this new family. The age to come is already breaking through into this age by faith. Exile and slavery is over. That's what we've been declaring in the waters of baptism. Revelation 21 verse 2, we actually see that moment that's still future when the heavenly Jerusalem comes. It's the church, what Paul in Galatians 6:16 calls the true Israel. It's very big, and it's made up of many free children from all the nations. Whether you're from Australia or from India, whether you're from one of the other continents of the world, from Africa, whether you're from Europe, it's including people of all the nations in this glorious city. And Paul, I'm getting ahead really here, but Paul goes on then to quote from Isaiah 54 verse 1. The next slide, slide 5. And he says, God's promise, the promise that Sarah and Abraham had was multiplication. Multiplication from barrenness to multiplication, from desolation to multiplication, from out of exile and the inability to keep law into promise, into fertility, into restoration. And it's all going to be based on faith and promise, not law. This has been his argument for four whole chapters. The promise for many. We haven't got time to get into it, but there's a couple of other references to Isaiah up there. Isaiah 51, 1 to 3, where the prophet promises a day when Abraham and Sarah are going to have so many kids. He's looking into the future. Verse 28, we're like Isaac. We're the children of promise, not of human effort. We're miracle born again by faith and grace and the Spirit. We're not slaves to human effort and law keeping and sin. We're born again by faith in the servant substitute sacrifice that we read of in Isaiah 53. No coincidence that these things are put together in Isaiah, is it? And the miracle life of the resurrection. And yet Paul says that ever since Genesis 16, that which represents law has persecuted that which has represented promise and grace and faith. And Hagar made Sarah's life really miserable after she got pregnant. Really miserable. And Ishmael was antagonistic towards Isaac. Genesis 21 verse 9. The Ishmaelites opposed the Israelites. Now, this is complicated. It's like 12 o'clock. We can't really get into it right now. But it would seem that at least some of the Arab tribes are the descendants of Ishmael. And certainly Islam has proudly claimed that it is the descendant of Ishmael. Interesting to think that one through a little bit, isn't it? The point that Paul makes then is that this is an allegory. The slave people of this age of law resent those who've become children of the coming age. We're free. We're the children of promise and freedom, just like Ishmael resented Isaac. To this day, the people of this age of flesh and law, pressurize the people of the Spirit and promise to abandon their inheritance, to abandon their freedom. They say, conform to religion, conform to rules. You've got to behave better. These are the values that we insist that you follow, not Christ's heavenly ones. The point Paul is making is that if you pursue grace, then law will try to condemn you. Hey children, do come in. We're just going to got a couple more minutes and then we'll be finished, all right? So verse 30, the conclusion of the story is this. The Lord says that the slave woman and the slave child must go because they do not have a part in the inheritance of the sons of the free woman. And so the application that Paul is making very clearly is this. There must be no accommodation between us and legalism, law keeping, human effort. We are not the children of the law. We are not slaves. We are free. So Paul says, know who you are and live like who you are and enjoy your inheritance by faith. It's a simple and consistent message that we've been hearing week after week from Galatians. We are the people of a coming age, a coming kingdom. Law, rule-keeping, human effort is of this age. It's not of the age to come. As we repent, we turn away from all kinds of legalism, all kinds of performance-ism, all kinds of comparison-ism, all kinds of living for the values and the things of this passing age. The clue is in the word passing. Don't invest in them. Invest in the age to come. And how do we do that? By enjoying the Spirit. I love the way that Galatians is so kind of doctrinally deep in terms of knowing who we are in Christ. And yet continually, Paul insists on the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. It cannot be just something that you know. It's his intention that it's something that you actually live in the reality of. The Spirit. So let's embrace our identity. We're children of the coming age. We're free. And as we do that, by faith, by trusting God's promise, by the Spirit, then what will happen? Christ will be formed in us. Just like we were hearing about last week. It's inevitable. If we turn away from human effort, law-based, rule-keeping, or the values of this world, if we turn to him and we receive, it is inevitable that Christ will be formed in us. Because it's God's good plan and purpose, and it's exactly how it happens, through the power of the Spirit. So friends, we kind of finish up where we started this morning, which is to say this. Have you turned from the things of this age, from its morality, from its rules and regulations, from its priorities? Have you turned and said, no, Christ? Have you done what Bob has done? He described it so beautifully, powerfully. Have you done that? If not, why not do that today? And friends, if you have, and you've not yet been baptized, come and speak to me afterwards. Let's sort it. And if you have, then let's continue day after day, moment by moment, to deliberately and intentionally be those who live by the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that everything that we need is available in Christ through the Spirit. We've got no shortage, no lack. Everything we need, Lord, is available to us. So I just pray, Jesus, that for any person here this morning who knows in their heart they need to turn to you, but Lord, right in this very moment, they'll make that choice and that decision. I turn to Christ. I turn to Christ. I turn to Christ. And Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to get baptized, Lord, will you just kind of nail their hearts on that issue now? And Lord, we choose this morning again to say, we're the children who are free. We're not slaves. And the Spirit is our inheritance. So Lord, right now, flood us again, fill us again. We want Christ to be formed in us. So we say yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, yes to you and all your works, all your power, all your grace, all your kindness. Why would we be like the slave child who has no inheritance when we're the free children and the Spirit is our inheritance? Fill us, Lord. Fill us again this day. Fill us, Lord. Even in the sleepy summer Sundays of August, fill us again, we pray. Because it's our birthright and it's your good purpose. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Friends, if you need to, come and speak to me about these issues. Otherwise, our time together is drawing to a close. We've got teas and coffees here. As you know, it's our normal practice. If you are sick, if you're in pain, if you have a need for prayer, we'd love to pray with you. Today we've got loads of space cleared over here. It's going to be very easy. So head to my right for prayer, this way for teas and coffees. God bless you. Have a great week.